Clarissa Simon, our final presenter for today. Clarissa is a doctoral student in Human Development and Social Policy at Northwestern University. She received her MA in Psychology and Political Science at the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, and her MPH in Epidemiology at the University of Michigan. Her research interests include psychobiological correlates of the transition to parenthood and how variations in family context are related to steroid hormone levels.
I apologize, my voice is not here, so just bear with me. And I'm speaking on behalf of my advisor, Emma Adam, and I'm going to talk about her analytic approach to looking at everyday experience to predict cortisol levels using a three-level lagged multi-level model. And I think hopefully this will help address some of the concerns that you had, because I will be talking about approaches dealing with just day amounts of day level variability in cortisol and different ways to model that. So usually research on psychosocial experience in cortisol uses a between-person approach to look at how differences in experience predict differences in cortisol. And any day-to-day changes in cortisol are treated as error. In our lab, we start with that approach, and then we also use a within-person approach. So we look at how the changing experiences from one day to the next predict day-to-day changes in cortisol rhythms. And we actually find that these within-person changes are both systematic and meaningful, and I'll discuss that. For example, in two prior studies in our lab, one using an adolescent sample and one with older adults, we find that lagged, or day-before loneliness, reported by adolescents or older adults is associated with a greater cortisol awakening response, so that increase from wake-up to 30 to 40 minutes post-waking on the following day. And this is after controlling for both trait levels of loneliness and loneliness as reported on the day of the cortisol measurement. So you can see in the graph, this is our adolescent data. Youth with increased levels of loneliness on the day prior to cortisol collection have a 26% greater cortisol awakening response the following day. And again, this is controlling for trait and day of loneliness. Thank you. So our analytic technique is to use a multi-level, three-level multi-level model to test the impact of daily experience on cortisol. So our first level is the moment level, so which is represented by cortisol throughout the day for each of the 3 days, which is nested within days. So we have three days of cortisol measurement and daily experience, which is nested in an individual, so person-level experience at level 3. So we use lags at the day level to examine whether prior day experiences predict cortisol on a given day better than same day or next day experience using all of these variables within the same model. The data I'm going to discuss is where we examine the association between day-to-day cortisol variations on adolescent sleep. So sleep during adolescence, there's a defined change in sleep patterns. Many of you are probably familiar with this. It might sound familiar, but during adolescence, there's a shift to a more owl-like pattern of sleep with a later bedtime. And then a later wake time. But especially this later wake time often conflicts with social and academic schedules, primarily adolescents having to wake up to go to school. So they this often results in insufficient sleep, which is then associated with poor academic outcomes and poor physical health. Sleep is also associated with HPA axis activity. Cortisol is a primary byproduct of this activity. Prior studies have shown that experimentally manipulated sleep, primarily sleep deprivation studies, show that less sleep is associated with cortisol diurnal rhythms. Other studies have shown that experimentally manipulated cortisol levels, so usually exogenous corticosteroids, affect levels of sleep. In this study, we're looking at everyday variations in sleep and how they're related to adolescent cortisol rhythms. So we're collecting cortisol and sleep measures in a naturalistic setting. Adolescents collect this this data actually at home, so it's not a clinic-based measurement. The methods we use is data from the Youth Emotion Project Northwestern Sleep and Stress Study, which focuses on adolescent depressive disorders. We have a sample size of 119 adolescents, majority are female, coming from a variety of ethnic and racial backgrounds, and an average age of 19. We also have a three-day sampling protocol. This should look familiar. So over 3 days, adolescents collect through using what's called a passive drool method into a little collection cup. At wake-up, 30 minutes post-waking, various times throughout the day and bedtime, for three consecutive weekdays. The weekday part is actually very important, especially for adolescents, because they typically make up a lot of their sleep on the weekend. So they would show very different, they could show different profiles at the time. We collect objective measures of sleep using a wrist-based accelerometer that they wear for all 3 days of cortisol collection. They also complete a health questionnaire, which asks about use of things like caffeine and alcohol, cigarettes, medication, things that are all associated with cortisol, and affect cortisol, as well as complete a daily sleep diary, with wake time, bedtime, hours of sleep, sleep quality. And we're mostly focused on hours of sleep. That's mostly what I'm going to talk about today. So this looks very familiar to everyone. Our primary interest is looking at slope, or the average rate of decline from wake to bedtime. We actually model this separately from the cortisol awakening response. The reason why we're interested in slopes, which are typically negative, as discussed earlier, with high morning values, low evening values, is because, steeper slopes are associated with more optimal health outcomes. These are just some examples of associations, prior studies where they found that steeper slopes were associated with better cardiovascular health, as well as longer breast survivorship from breast cancer. So first, we do take a cross-sectional approach to look at overall between person whether or not average sleep quality is related to estimated cortisol rhythms across 3 days. Just graphically, we have 3 days of collection, 3 days of sleep data, and 3 days of cortisol data. And for this approach, we look at average sleep quality to predict cortisol rhythms estimated across the 3 days. We use a three-level lagged growth model in HLM. Again, where we account for nesting. So level one is the moment level. We center time at waking. So this first model would be cortisol is equal to pi zero is cortisol value at wake up. Let me show this in the next one. We have a dummy or design variable to represent the awakening response, cortisol awakening response, which is pi 1, and then pi 2 would represent the slope or diurnal decline modeled as time since waking, which again is typically negative due to the high wake up and low bedtime values. Level 2 is representing the day-to-day variability. And because this is a between-person approach, we have the aggregate sleep parameters at level 3, the individual level. These are our results, and I'm going to go through the significant results. You can see that sleep quality does not predict wake-up or awakening response cortisol, but does average hours of sleep is related to time since waking, and time since waking is the diurnal slope. So here, more sleep is associated with a steeper slope because the coefficient should be negative with a steeper slope. And this is just for descriptive purposes. It was split by hours of sleep. So this blue line is representing less than 6.5 hours of sleep. The dotted line here shows the slope, again, from wake up to bedtime. The green line is more hours of sleep, 6.5 hours of sleep or more. And that green dotted line shows the slope. So you can see on the green line, more sleep predicts a steeper slope across the day. And less sleep, the blue line, predicts a flatter slope across the day. We also then took this dynamic with an individual lagged analysis approach. We're looking at the night before sleep quality to predict a day of cortisol parameters, to then predict a night of sleep quality. Again, all of these variables are included in the same model. So again, showing how we did this. We had 3 days of sleep and cortisol. We're using day before sleep to predict cortisol to then predict day of sleep. Or again, here, overall prior night sleep predicting cortisol, predicting sleep later that night over the 3 days of collection. So this is our dynamic model. Level one, the moment level is the same. Level three is the same. But at level two, at the day level, we're modeling both sleep quality before cortisol collection and sleep quality after. And these are our results, and I'll actually walk through the significant results. But as you can see in modeling, we have both same day and next day sleep quality in the same model. So our results are for prior day are above and beyond those for next day. So here we find that prior night's hours of sleep relates to wake-up cortisol. So more sleep the night before predicts a higher morning cortisol level the next day. More sleep the night before collection also predicts a steeper diurnal slope. Again, the coefficient is negative because slopes are typically negative. Next, higher wake-up cortisol levels predict more hours of sleep the evening of collection. And steeper diurnal slopes the day of collection predict more hours of sleep the evening of collection. And steeper diurnal slopes the day of collection also predict an earlier wake-up time the morning after collection. So in summary, more sleep more sleep the night before collection relates to a more optimal cortisol rhythm, and we would define that by a higher wake-up and a steeper slope across the next day. Also, a more optimal cortisol rhythm predicts more hours of sleep and a later wake-up time the following day. Or said differently, an adolescent who gets less sleep the night before collection then has a less optimal profile the following day, so they have a lower wake-up value and a flatter slope. And this less optimal cortisol rhythm then predicts less hours of sleep and an earlier wake time the following day. So we find reciprocal relationships between sleep and cortisol, where sleep predicts cortisol and cortisol then predicts sleep. So in conclusion, our cross-sectional results using average levels of sleep and average cortisol, we find that more hours of sleep predicts a steeper slope. And this aligns with plenty of prior health findings that a steeper cortisol decline across the day is associated with better health. These are just some examples. However, we can't say very much about potential, we can't make any inferences about causal effect. This is not longitudinal data, it's just multi-day levels of data. But this is an entirely correlational effect. Using our dynamic results, using day-to-day sleep to predict day-to-day levels of cortisol, we find reciprocal relationships between sleep and cortisol from day-to-day. The within-person analysis is also less subject to third variable interpretations, so the results we find are not due to any stable person level differences, like someone who just tends to wake up earlier. The lagged results, so our prior night levels of sleep, findings are independent of next day effects because all of our variables are entered simultaneously. And this is an efficient way to model multiple day data while waiting for longitudinal data or in addition to, it sort of treats the data as like a mini longitudinal study, which does enable causal inference on directionality of effect. It's still a correlational finding, but it does allow us to make some causal inferences. So overall, this gives us new insights into cortisol and everyday daily life. Thank you very much. In terms of the linearity of the slope?
Yes.
So it is typically linear if you take out the awakening response. The awakening response is actually, the diurnal rhythm is modulated by the HPA axis, but the awakening response is actually has additional biological inputs from the suprachiasmic nucleus, which is turned on by light. So it actually has additional inputs into the HPA system, which is why we actually model it separately. But the slope is typically a linear decline across the day.
And then also, you were working with low cortisol.
Yes, that's right.
Also helps to linearize the slope. And then, I missed how many samples per day you had for each
sample. It was also six.
It's also six.
Yeah, so 18 points. Yeah.
I have a question about how you relate the cortisol to length of sleep on the next day. And so is the dependent variable in your models always cortisol?
It is.
And so then in your diagrams, when you show like higher wake-up levels of cortisol are related to longer sleep on the next day or whatever,
yeah.
But the coefficient that you were showing there was the correlation between those two and not necessarily a regression coefficient of sleep. So sleep on the next day was never actually a dependent variable?
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was always cortisol was a dependent variable. Correct. That's why we can't make actual causal inferences, but we can infer because you can't have sleep the next day predicting cortisol the prior day. They're all entered simultaneously. Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay. So we have a few minutes if we want to open up questions. Actually, I had a question. Not being so familiar with the subject area, so it seemed like in some of the talks you're talking about time from wake up, and in other talks you're talking about, if I understood correctly, specific times of the day. So time at 12, was that 12 hours after wake up, or was that my talk? Yeah.
That was just sort of the profile over the day, so it wasn't at all specific times of the day. It was sort of just to summarize how it would look. Grouped everybody into similar patterns.
So it's always time from wake up, and it's time of day. So if I wake up at 7:30 versus 9:30, if it doesn't matter, it models the same.
So many studies include the time, so the time index is always time since wake up. Well, most probably 95% of papers. And then many times people include the time at which you woke up as a covariate in the model, because the time at which you wake up also is associated with the actual levels of cortisol.
Any other questions? So I think there's a little bit of time before the session's over, so I'm assuming the speakers will be willing to stick around and answer anyone on questions that you have. So let's thank our speakers.